Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Whenever I baptize both adults and children, this is the scripture I always meditate and share. And of course, this being our first year with you, I wanted to not only share it, of course, I did that with the parents during our baptism study, but I thought it would be good for all of us to also learn the scripture so that we would all understand what an incredible blessing baptism is. So this is the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, two verses. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." Yeah. Beautiful words. You know, as our brother Alex just shared about and pray and led us in thanksgiving, man, a thought of me, a part of me wanted to just share, as our two lovely sisters sang today, 10,000 reasons for blessings and for thankfulness. I was tempted to list all the reasons why we could be thankful. But instead of listing 10,000 things, I wanted to share with you what is ultimately the greatest blessing and the most wonderful reason why we can be thankful for. And so keeping that in mind, I chose again, once again, this passage on Jesus' baptism so that you and I can learn what a glorious truth this is and how applicable it is and how wonderful it is. And so through our passage today, I want to show you three incredible blessings that the people who are united with Christ will be receiving. See, that's what baptism means. Baptism means union with Christ. But you know, whenever I teach on baptism, I cannot merely teach you with words. I need you all. Follow along with me. We need to all learn, not only with words, but also with our fingers as well. So can you all follow my example? Two fingers both ways. Will you all raise them up? Everyone, everyone please. Little children and older children, everyone, you need to have your two fingers up, okay? And so when I say, what is baptism? You would all together say, union with Christ. But before we do that, when I ask what is baptism, I want you to, okay, connect and tie your fingers together. Got it? Okay. Silence means wholehearted yes. Okay. You got your fingers ready? Yes. What is baptism? Union with Christ. Oh, you guys are so sight. A little louder with more enthusiasm. One more time. What is baptism? Union with Christ. Yes. Throughout the sermon, I'm going to ask you, what is baptism? And every time I ask you, I want all of you together, not only with your lips, but with your fingers, right? Two fingers each. I want you to tie your hands together and tell me, union with Christ. You'll do that, right? Okay. Now, I said there are three incredible blessings that the people of God who are united with Christ receives, which is what baptism is. And so let me quickly and briefly explain those things. Let me reread Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, something opened up. What was it? Heaven. That's the first incredible blessing I want all of us to focus. The heavens were opened. See, today, we are going to baptize our infant, Dominic. And I'm going to pour a little water from here over Dominic's head three times. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. After this, we're going to give to Dominic's parents, Gino and Sandra, a certificate which we have prepared. Okay? And this certificate will be like receiving his citizenship. Remember, Dominic is a U.S. citizen by his physical birth. But today, he's going to receive his heavenly citizenship certificate because we are celebrating his spiritual birth. This baptism does not, I repeat, make Dominic or any person a Christian. Baptism does not do that. However, this baptism is a declaration that announces that he is a Christian, that his home is in heaven, that Jesus is his Savior and Lord, and that his life is offered completely and always for God's glory alone. Now, then the question some of you might be asking is, how does a person become a Christian and go to heaven? I want all of us to understand, heaven is not for everyone. It is the home of Christians only. So if you've done a lot of good works, that's great. But still, heaven is not your home. Some people are really nice and kind people, which is also great. But still, heaven is not their home either. Some people really, really want to go to heaven. And they really love heaven. But to such people, heaven is still not their home. Do you know why heaven cannot be their home? It is because they are all holding on to something heaven really, truly hates. And therefore, it cannot allow any person who is holding on to that thing to enter into heaven. See, the reason why heaven's door will remain locked, barring such people to enter, is because of what they're holding on to. It is like this virus, contagious. It is like cancer. It will spread and eventually kill all the healthy cells. It is like poison in a cup of water. It will spread and kill everyone who drinks it. So what is this thing that spreads and kills everyone? The most hated thing is called sin. Sin. When you have sin in you and it is not cleansed from you, then no one with sin are allowed to enter into heaven. Please understand, sin is that real. It is that frightening. It is that powerful. And did you know you can actually do nothing to cleanse yourself from that sin? The problem of sin is the worst possible problem a person can ever have because you will never enter into heaven with your sin. But there is someone who can cleanse you from that sin. Furthermore, he knows how to open the door to heaven because he came from heaven. He brought the key to open heaven's door. Do you know how to turn the key to open heaven's door? You see, the key to heaven's door turning is when we believe that Jesus came to this world, died on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. You see, when you believe Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead to save us, that's when we know heaven's key has turned and we will enter into heaven. Did you know, when our sins cling to us, we are far removed from God's presence. But when we believe that Jesus' death on the cross pay for all of our sins, then all the sins in us are completely removed. And now we can actually be united with him who is perfectly holy. Baptism means just that, union with Christ. Listen to this. If we're united with Christ, and Christ is heaven's king, then we will live forever where? In heaven. Christians entering to heaven is amazing in itself, but it gets better because we live in heaven as the bride of Christ. So Christians, we don't only get to go inside heaven, but we get to enjoy all the incredible, perfect goodness of heaven. Because why? We are united with Him. So I ask you, my friends, what is baptism? Union with Christ. Yeah, say it with me. Union with Christ. We are this tight with Him. Because we are going to go to heaven. Heaven is open to people, even like us. That's the first incredible blessing we see in the baptism that we see in Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let's continue rereading that verse again. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, right? The first blessing we saw. And then the second, He says, He saw what descending like a dove? Who descended? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, somehow chooses to descend to this world to be with us. You know, we live in a world where the problem seems too big and the pain too great. Therefore, at times in life, we feel the hopelessness and the helplessness that life can really, really bring to us. Did you know, Paul said that before our union with Christ, that we were children of disobedience. That means we had the spirit of the devil working against the will of the Almighty God. Folks, imagine this. Left to ourselves to defend ourselves, how successful will we be against all the forces and power that this world has? To a people left to do their own thing, did you know God's word calls them dead, impotent, helpless, hopeless, who truly deserve nothing but God's wrath? Wow. Isn't that a horrible news? Knowing who we were on our own, that's why the Spirit of God descended unto us, so that He can dwell with us permanently. Did you know, folks, because the Spirit of God descended unto us, He opened our hearts to receive and believe the message of the gospel. Did you know without the Holy Spirit, when you and I heard that Jesus died on that cross and on the third day was raised back, you would have said, what? The reason why you are able to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was raised was only because the Holy Spirit has descended and is dwelling with us. Because the Holy Spirit descended unto us, what else does He do? He also opens our minds to understand and to begin to see the beauty and the power that our God can do and His word, the promises. All the words that you read and you say amen to, it's not because you and I are such humble people. It is because the Spirit of God has descended and is dwelling with each of us. Because the Spirit of God descended unto us, He blesses us to have a faith that believes. Yeah, the world teaches us a lot of things, don't they? That are so contradicting to God's truth. And yet, in the midst of all of that, God's people, you and I, are able to see beyond the lies of the world. We are able to see beyond what is merely visible. And we're able to see that kingdom, that eternity that is waiting for home. And you and I are able to say, this is not my home. Home is over there, eternity. That's what the Holy Spirit in faith can do. because the Holy Spirit descended onto us, we know He can open any closed hearts, soften any hardened hearts, heal any wound and pain people can carry, and comfort and bring peace to people who are hurting and struggling. Friends, if being left to ourselves showed us how hopeless and helpless we are, then having the Holy Spirit descend unto us has brought God's power to touch, to minister, and to transform the lives of the people, both ours and those around us. By ourselves or by themselves, have you seen some people who seem absolutely hopeless to you? They may be. Their hearts may be as cold as the snow, as hard as any stone, as dead as any of these chairs here might be. But when the Spirit of God descends unto us, a new life, a new power completely takes over. Oh, folks, don't let your feelings and your sight determine what is in life. Let the Spirit of God open our eyes and our ears and our faith to be able to see beyond what this world seems to say. You know, we are going to celebrate baptism. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, I had this opportunity, an amazing and unique opportunity to meet this man, a pastor from Romania. His name is Richard Wurmbrand. And through him and through his books, I got to hear and learn about the awesomeness but also the utter seriousness of what baptism really truly is. So let me share briefly what I learned from him. You see, he was a pastor in Romania, which at the time was a communist country. And therefore, the church had to meet and worship on the ground. They wanted to celebrate the baptism with the larger church. So several of the underground churches in Romania that were under Pastor Wurmbrand's leading planned for a day where they would all leave the city and find a secluded area deep into the mountains where there was also little streams of water. However, a large gathering, a church gathering as such, was against the communist government, which is why they had to go into the secluded area in the mountains. Unfortunately, the communist government found out and they raided the gathering in the mountain during the baptism ceremony. And several people who were hoping to receive their baptism instead were killed, while the others received a severe beating. And all of them were in prison for their faith. It is amazing that some people who are hoping to receive the symbol of the union with Christ, that they were truly united with Christ, not here in symbol, but in glory. The people who were planning to receive baptism that day, they all really knew this could have happened. In other words, they knew if they were caught that they would be beaten, imprisoned, and perhaps killed. But did you know they all said that they would gladly do it over again, that they would gladly receive the suffering in order to receive their baptism, the symbol that said union with Christ. To them, to declare they are united with Christ was far more precious than even the suffering and death they could receive. May I ask us, all of us here, what does your baptism, your union with Christ, means to you. Imagine if this place was a mountain in Romania and the police came during our baptism. Will you humbly confess you are united with Christ? Or will you quickly run to escape your faith? As the Holy Spirit leads us, He will give us His grace to stay and to tell them we are united with Christ, and whatever He leads, we will follow. That's what baptism does. One more blessings that I want to share with you from this incredible passage. Let's reread Matthew chapter 3. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And then listen to that final verse. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased." What this tells me is that there is a fellowship between the Father who is speaking and the Son who are hearing, and we, because we're united with Him, it is also given to us as well. And so let me briefly explain the two incredible truths that this fellowship entails with you before we end our message. The two truths here in the fellowship with our God is this. Folks, this is the fellowship you and I have with our Heavenly Father. And this is what He says to you always. He says first, "This is My Son whom I" what? "Love." You get it? It is a love relationship. Right? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Because you are His Son's children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, 'Abba, Father,' so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir." In other words, did you hear? God's word clearly says we are His children and He is our Heavenly Father. And if He is our Heavenly Father, then of course you are able to call Him Abba, Father. We are forever loved by this Father. And did you know, no one is able to separate us from that eternal and unbreakable bond of love. Can I take you to Romans chapter 8? If we don't have it on our screen, please find it for us in your phone or somewhere. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Most of you are familiar with this, aren't you? It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or anything else, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Folks, you understand? Do you understand the depths, the magnitude, and the power of these words here? It says, nothing in this world, not death. You see, in our marriage vows, we say what? "Till death do us apart." Not with Christ. Death cannot separate the bond we have with Him. Anything in life that happens, many of you think, "Oh boy, life is so hard. I am all alone." Not true. Nothing in life can separate you from the bond you have with Christ. Angels and demons, are you afraid of them? They cannot separate you from the bond you have with Christ. Nothing in the present that would happen. Nothing in the future. Some of you are afraid of what might happen tomorrow and the future. Let me tell you, I don't know what will happen. Some difficult things might happen, like the virus. But I am certain what the Bible promises is this. Nothing, even in the future, will be able to separate us from the bond and love we have in Christ. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, do you understand that God's love for you is so much more than we ever imagined or no? Did you know your parents cannot love you more than your God? Did you know your closest friends cannot love you more than God? You cannot love yourself more than God loves you. No one, absolutely no one, can love you more than our God does. God loves you like no one ever could. And if you should ever doubt it, look at that cross. That is a reminder and the words that says, I love you this much. So he spread his arm and died for you. But there's one more thing here in the fellowship we have with our Heavenly Father. It is not just a loving fellowship, which is amazing, isn't it? It gets better and there's more. And that final verse, that final phrase of that verse, he says, this is my son whom I love. And then what is followed? With him I am what? Well pleased. Oh boy. You see, the Father's love for us is not an obligation or a responsibility or a duty. It is a pleasure for him to love his children. You know, one of the words, one of the names that God calls his people is the word Hephzibah, which you'll find in Isaiah 62, verse 4. And Hephzibah means, my delight is in her. So sometimes I call my wife Hephzibah. My delight is in her. That's how God calls us. When God's joy is for us, I feel he sings and dances. Let me try to show you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 3:17. We're almost at the end. Okay, Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty Savior who saves you. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with how? Singing. I feel he left out another word. It should say singing and dancing. For sure. When you are so happy singing, your feet is going to get light. You guys don't do that? When I sing in love for my wife, man, I dance. You don't do that, Elder Frank? Oh, Lord. Come for private lessons. MJ and Michael, all you husbands, Matt, come over. Gino, Chris, let me teach you how to dance with joy. I feel that's what God does. When he sees the people who are united with Christ, with his son, he sings with joy and dances with delight. That's how happy he is to see us. Why do I share all of these things? It is to teach us this. Baptism. What does baptism mean, everyone? Union with Christ. Okay. Tyler, what does baptism mean? Yes, union with Christ. Folks, when we are united with Christ, the incredible blessings that God gives us. So let me close this message. Today we're going to celebrate the baptism of one Dominic Kingston Pack, his full name. So allow me to invite all of you. Please bless this child with your prayers. Bless this child with your love. Bless this child with your joy. And of course, bless this child also with your gifts. But most of all, let's praise our God for opening the heavens to Dominic, for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in Dominic, and for starting his fellowship of pure love and great delight for this little boy. I want you to hear God tells his boy, I love you so much, and I like you so greatly. But I want you to also know, it isn't only to Dominic that God's favor rests like that. And so today, I'm going to show off a little bit of my other languages, because this is what God says. And so with that, I want to close. See, God tells not only Dominic, but to all of you, right? In English, he says, I love you so much, and I really like you a lot. In Spanish, it means, te amo y te quiero muchísimo. See? And in Korean, it goes, 너를 얼마나 사랑하고 좋아하는지. The three languages I know to express how much God's love means for us. As we are about to celebrate this baptism, let's bless him that he would always remember God's love and delight over him, but also over all of us as well. Let's pray.